Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led him up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son and Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But when Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid," and when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Thank you. The word of God for the people of God. I was pleased to realize that that scripture was offered on the day that we returned from Haiti. I want to invite Tom and Jean Narager to join me here. The first thing we want to do today is I have prepared a very brief 3-minute video that shows a little bit about our trip. This is a video that I suspect will be used at annual conference to highlight the Haiti missions. We were not the first this year. A previous team had been there, one under, I'm not sure if it was under the leadership of Jeff Nelson, but it certainly was, Jeff was certainly involved. They began the work of building this bathroom facility for the Gommier School, and we continued that work and got it to the point where it was ready to be used upon our leaving the place. So first turn to the screen before you and receive the video. I don't want to go to Haiti. I'm too important here. I'm needed here. There's too much relying upon me here. My wife is ill. I don't want to go to Haiti. Besides, there's people who know more about it there, people who are of greater skill, people who have more experience. They can carry it on. I'll give a donation. I don't want to go to Haiti. There's too much required of me here. Aside all of the reasons that I should be spared this experience, and I need to present myself without reservation as a servant.
Here we have the Haiti Hot Lunch program being prepared, and having beef with us today. Beans and rice.
What is the block in your life to being a servant in this world? A question for you to ponder while we are away. What would it take to give you a clean heart so that you might serve?
Love Christ, share Christ, be Christ.
how can we shed all of those excuses and simply offer ourselves? Heart will be open to whatever God has to teach me. Thanks be to God. What a blessing it was to share this experience with Tom and Jean Nirager, and I have asked them to come to the podium so that they can be heard properly and to share with you a little bit of their experience.
Dave asked us to give some impressions of our trip to Haiti. My first impression brought a lump to my throat. As the plane landed in Port-au-Prince, I saw the mountains and the lush green tropical plants and trees and flowers. And I thought, I'm actually in Haiti. This is it. I can't believe it. Under all that beauty, there was stark poverty and the very friendly people. At no time while we were there did I hear anyone complaining of their life situation. The 250 children at the Gromier School where we worked were cheerful, happy, and curious about us. Some read my name tag and called me John, as my name is in their language. They seemed to enjoy having me try to correct them. We saw no crying, fighting, or complaining. While we worked, when the school day was over, a few children played soccer, rolled an old bike tire around with a stick, jumped rope, or tried to get into our line to help us in our work. When we took a break, they sat with us to talk and ask questions. They loved having their photos taken with a digital camera because they could then see them immediately. Chickens and an occasional goat with their kids walked through the schoolyard. There were pigs tied in the yard of some nearby homes. Houses in the area were plentiful and mainly very small, square structures, often of cement block, with a thatched roof or other available materials. A well at the back of the school brought a few people from the area with their containers to fill them with water. A bowl of rice and beans was served each child for lunch, and this was cooked over an open fire in the kitchen, a small square cement block structure at the back of the school. There was a fire built on the floor of the room with cooking pots set up on stones over the fire. On Sunday, we went to a large church in the city of Jeremy. Pastor Jean Leslie, who with his wife and family were our hosts at the guest house, was also the pastor of this church and was interpreter for Pastor Jill of Grace United Methodist Church in New Baltimore as she gave the sermon. Everyone in church was beautifully dressed, friendly, and welcoming. As the service started, about 200 children and teens came in from Sunday school. The pastor said the total number in the congregation was about 500. Little ones sat up front in chairs in the area in front of the pews. Some sat on the altar rail facing the congregation. Some sat with parents and some with friends. They were all quiet. However, a few of the smaller children walked around occasionally, just changing from one seat to another. There was no fussing or crying until near the end of the service when one or two became restless. The service was 2 hours long. I was impressed and very curious about the behavior of these children. They seemed comfortable, very much at home. They just seemed to sit there and be a part of the service. As we walked out of church, everyone on both sides of the aisle reached out to shake our hands. On Saturday, our last day, we had a tour around some of the city of Jeremy that we had not seen. Along the way, we did see some very beautiful homes, which are also interspersed with the poverty of the area. Jeremy reminded me of San Francisco because the streets go up and down hills. Sometimes they are steep and bumpy. Our last stop was the Good Samaritan Home, a home for the elderly. I thought it was the most depressing thing I had seen all week. It seemed dark and the rooms were small, but I was reminded that they do have flush toilets, showers, and food every day. The residents were better off than if they had been in the country with no one to care for them and no facilities in their homes. Each room opened to the outside walkway with just a curtain for a door so they can easily get out into the fresh air and sunshine. I was left with the feeling that we were told maybe we shouldn't go to Haiti, and we've seen that maybe it's a very scary place. It's not scary at all. It was just beautiful.
Jean mentioned chickens and goats. I must point out that we had a lot of very friendly roosters near our guest house who every morning at about 4:45 greeted us, and then that got the dogs started who barked. And anyway, earplugs were a wonderful asset to have, you know, in the early morning there. You know me as Tom, but there I was Tom. That's the way they came out in their Creole pronunciation. We worked at a Methodist-sponsored school several miles outside of Jeremy at Gomier that Jean mentioned, which we got to by riding on a very bumpy road. I'm not looking at Dave for agreement. I'm sure he does. Our job for the first 4 days was to move a pile of dirt that had been left from a hole that was dug for a septic tank by hand. The way we moved this dirt, you saw pictures of it, became known as the Bucket Brigade. One line passed 5-gallon buckets with dirt in them to the back of the yard where it was dumped to fill in low spots, while another line returned the buckets by tossing them one to another until they reached the dirt pile. This got a bit hectic at times and a few minor injuries and casualties, but especially among the children who were less serious about the whole operation than us. The shell of a bathroom building with 4 stalls had been built with cement blocks and was located at the edge of the schoolyard, and pipes had been installed for toilets and sinks, and doors had been added to each stall. A trench was dug by hand, as you saw also in the pictures there, and pipes were put in the trench to bring water in from a line along the road to the bathroom building. And these materials were provided by donations from Michigan United Methodist Churches. During our time there, the bathroom was completed by the men from Haiti who were paid for their work, and the toilets were ready for use shortly after we left Haiti. However, and this is interesting, the children need to be taught how to use them, because for many of them, it'll be an absolute new experience to see what a flush toilet is. Now, besides the Bucket Brigade, a few other things we did. I had an experience one morning that was rather interesting. I taught the song Bingo to a preschool class. Interesting, they speak Creole and I speak English, and Bingo was in English, but, you know, we had some fun doing it. A couple days of Bible school. The first day was preschool and lower elementary with camp songs by Dave and some animal songs done by the children with an outer space theme, and if you can imagine it, me as a spaceman in a spacesuit. Fingerprinting and measuring of height on little cards that we gave each of the kids. Then the second day, upper elementary, songs again by Dave, and 7 murals painted by the kids grouped into 7 different groups to represent each day of creation. And then Beanie Babies were handed out to all. We had thousands of, maybe not thousands, but a lot of Beanie Babies, and they loved them dearly. We also toured the college, which is like a high school to us in Jeremy, and we planted trees near the orphanage that you saw in one picture, and we met some of the kids and toured the orphanage. One day, a couple of days, we went shopping in Jeremy, once in a gift shop sponsored by the Catholic Church and another in a small grocery store. We attended a Haitian wedding where Dave gave the homily, and Dave and I sang a duet, The Gift of Love, and we talked about a bumpy road to Jeremy. Well, that was nothing in comparison to the bumpy road to the wedding. It was maybe about 10, 11 miles away, and it took us over an hour to get there. Last, but definitely not least, we, Sunday afternoon, the same day after we went to church, we went swimming in the Caribbean. Somebody had to do it, so we figured we would sacrifice ourselves and enjoy that beautiful sand and water. And last thing, I'd like to just point out a few impressions I got. The Haiti that you see on TV is definitely not the Haiti that we saw, in the least. We felt completely safe. The people were clean and well-groomed, even when their clothing and shoes were in bad shape. And the children, who were just the cutest, most adorable bunch of kids you ever saw. Especially, we're happy and appreciative of the love, care, and interest and attention that we gave them. With the picture taking, they wanted to see, after we took their picture with a digital camera, you know, what it looked like in the picture, in the back of the camera. So we were thrilled, Gene and I were both thrilled to be able to make this trip, and so glad to tell you about it. It was a memorable experience. Thank you.
I felt very, very blessed to be sharing this experience with Tom and Jean Niragara. Let me tell you, they were right in there every single day without fail. It was hard, hard work. About 8 cubic yards of dirt left piled up beside that septic tank that had to be moved from here to there. And the only way to do it was in that bucket brigade. One shovel full of dirt in a 5-gallon pail and then tossed on down the way. At first, we started filling the buckets up and carrying them. You saw me there carrying one on my head. And that was just too slow. Today we read the story of the Transfiguration, in which Peter, James, and John went up the mountain with Jesus, and suddenly this familiar person, this man they had known for quite some time and who they had walked through Galilee with, appeared to them in a new light. They saw Jesus in a new way. They connected Jesus with Moses and Elijah, and suddenly it was like everything was clear. I thought about how pertinent that was, that image, to my experience in Haiti. You heard my voice on that video from the sermon I delivered to you the Sunday before we left. I don't want to go to Haiti, I said, you know, but I need to go to Haiti. How true that was. How true that was. To see for myself and to have my vision transformed and to understand it in a new way. Let me share with you quickly and briefly some of those transformations. First of all, for the first 3 days in Haiti, I could not see beyond the poverty. It is indescribable poverty. I have never experienced, even in the days when I lived in a migrant labor camp working with the Michigan Migrant Ministry, I never experienced poverty like that. However, let me tell you that although there is poverty in Haiti, the people of Haiti are not spiritually or emotionally impoverished in any way. They are strong, they are determined, they have a spirit of hope and great aspirations for themselves and for their country. One of the participants in this mission was Jeannie Bank, and Jeannie and her husband have been heavily involved in the mission work of the Methodist Church for many, many years. I dearly and deeply admire them. She was talking about someone that she knew who went to Haiti on a different kind of mission trip, one in which all of the materials were taken down there, all of the expertise went down with the team. All they expected was that they would give direction to Haitian workers while they provided all of the expertise. And upon coming home, this person was sharing that it was so difficult, they said, to get the Haitians to do anything. They just stood around, and their conclusion was that the Haitian people were lazy. Let me tell you how inaccurate that is. In our case, all of the skilled labor was provided by the Haitians. All of the plumbing, all of the masonry, all done by skilled Haitian workers. We were at their direction. The first day there, I expected to look and have a little bit of fun doing some bricklaying or some block laying or some a little bit of plumbing, something like that, something of interest to me. And when I stood and said, okay, we're here, what do you want us to do? And Jean-Leslie Dosselet, the superintendent of this circuit, said, you see that pile of dirt? That pile of dirt there needs to go over there. And that was our work. While the Haitians laid the block and put the plumbing. This is something I learned, a transformation in my eyes. You cannot be lazy and survive in Haiti. You can't. Everything you need in the day requires work. If you want water, you have to walk who knows how far to get it. And then you put it in a 5-gallon bucket and you carry it home on your head. You have to collect your firewood. You have to walk everywhere you go. You can't be lazy and survive in Haiti. And that was something that I learned firsthand. Once I was able to get beyond the immensity of the poverty, because it's just so different from here, I was able to see the spirit of the Haitian people, and that poverty no longer was a block to me. I had a partner named Mark. He was a Haitian guy, spoke only Creole, and he and I could not talk unless there was an interpreter around, and yet he was the one I received the bucket from, and so I caught the bucket from Mark and tossed the bucket to the next person beyond me. 6 hours, 7 hours a day. Catch a bucket, toss the bucket, catch the bucket, toss the bucket. That was our mission work. And Mark and I became great friends, and we laughed a lot. We had a few train wrecks with that bucket brigade whenever somebody wasn't quite in sync with everybody else, and it was a sight to behold as buckets started dropping everywhere. I've been trying to think about the most important thing to tell you, and here's where I have come down. We've been blessed in this congregation with a special relationship to the Brakeman College in a different part of Haiti. I've never had the opportunity to visit that place, although many among us have. And we have Harry and Ella Brakeman as a part of our church, and we have Mel Scott, who has been keeping the issues of Haiti in front of us. I'm glad that I went to this project in Jeremy. I would go back again, but we have a special relationship to the Brakeman School. And I think it's time for us to renew that relationship. The teachers in the school at Gomier had not been paid in 3 months. And St. Clair First Methodist Church saw to it that that deficit was made up. A teacher in Haiti makes $500 a year. $500 a year. Maybe that's something we could do, because I know the same situation exists at the Brakeman School. Maybe we could make sure that they're no longer working and not being paid. Something like that. Something like that. What a blessing it was. How gracious we were accepted there, where Pastor Docile simply said, you know, we have an opportunity to take you to this Haitian wedding clear up in Lyon, up in the mountains, that trip that Tom talked about. If you had looked at that road, you would look at that road and you would say, this is not passable. It is not a road. It is a goat path. And yet there we were in the back of this vehicle, bouncing along, going up that road to participate in this Haitian wedding. He said, I want you to come to the Haitian wedding, and then looked at me and said, and I'd like you to deliver the homily for the Haitian wedding. And Tom, not one to be left out, said, well, we could sing. And they said, absolutely. And so there we were, singing a duet, The Gift of Love by Hal Hobson. Nobody knew it. Nobody understood what we were singing, but how wonderful it was to sing, how wonderful it was to share in that moment, to deliver the wedding homily as it was interpreted in French next to me by the pastor of the church. The graciousness was just phenomenal. The scripture today is about how the disciples went on a trip with Jesus and saw him in a different light, understood him to be something different than what they had always thought. So it is with me, I think with Tom and Jean, and with all of the people on our team, to go to Haiti, thinking we know what this is all about, and to find there something we never expected. Good people faithful people, people of tremendous spirit and great energy, ready to make their country better than it is, dedicated to educating their children. I saw it in a new way. I saw something else in a new way, and then I'll wrap this up. You saw a video of the Haitian hot lunch program in operation. Rice and beans prepared on open fires in a square cement block building, and people happy to receive it. All of the kids in that school, 250 of them, as Jean told you, received a great big dish of rice and beans. Now I would probably say, I don't want to ever look at rice and beans again. But to them, that rice and beans is a good, nutritious meal, and if there was leftover in the kitchen, it went home with the kids to their families that night. That is the Haitian hot lunch program. We collect money and we send it off and we wonder, I wonder if this is really going to where it belongs. I wonder if it's making any difference. Nevertheless, we continue to give our money. There it was, in operation with happy, grateful people preparing that food for the children. The other was when we visited the orphanage and we went through the dormitories, and on every bunk bed in that dormitory was an anti-malarial mosquito net. We have collected money for the Nothing But Nets program. Did you ever wonder where that money ended up? It ended up in that orphanage and in other orphanages, protecting children from mosquitoes so they don't get malaria. Real nets covering real people. It was important to see that, because we get jaded and we think, well, our money's gone off there. I wonder if it's doing anything. I went on a trip and I saw things differently from the assumptions I had always made. Perhaps it'll be that God will allow me to go back again someday. But I think it's time for our church to renew its commitment to the people of Haiti. And because of our special connection with Harry and Ella Brakeman and their lifelong dedication to that country, that's the place we ought to focus. I went to Jeremy, but we can focus on the Brakeman College and renew our commitment there. These are real people, Christian people, working hard to improve their life and to be faithful to their country and to their God. It was a blessing to be on this trip. A wonderful team, all hardworking, dedicated people who love Haiti. Many who had been there for their sixth time. Tom and Jean and I, we were among the newbies on this trip. I praise God and thank God for this opportunity and your support and your understanding that allowed this to be a reality in my life. Thanks be to God.